And hello, hockey fans, and just welcome back to the Hockey Writer Summer Preview. Mark Shag checking back in, and if you're with me the first couple recordings of the summer here, we've had the honor to talk to two of the best in the business trying to help you guys get ready for the season. We had Frank Saravalli from TSN. We got to talk about the Metro Division, had a lot of Columbus Blue Jackets talk there, and we also got to talk to Matt Sitka from NHL.com, getting ready for your fantasy leagues, and a lot of Columbus Blue Jackets talk there as well. In case you missed it, Matt Sitka himself called Cam Atkinson the biggest fantasy sleeper in the entire National Hockey League, said he has the opportunity to get up to 30 goals this year. You heard it here first. Make sure you get them on your fantasy team. So we wanted to switch to the Columbus Blue Jackets this time around, and we have a special treat for you. And after a lot of bribing, I had to slip some money to the appropriate people, I was able to get two very special guests, and we certainly are honored to have them. And in this first part here, Allison Lucan is joining us. You know her from Buckeye State Hockey. She also writes for BlueJackets.com. So we bring her in now. So, Allison, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm honored to be here. I'm sorry to your listeners to have to put up with me after such great content that you've been putting out in the series.
You enhance the content, Allison. You enhance the content. No, we really are honored to have you. Thank you very much. And we wanted to, burning questions. Everyone's got questions, no matter what time of the year it is, they always want the best for their team. So we thought we'd bring you along to ask, 10 questions, 10 burning questions that, Blue Jackets fans want to know, and we wanted to get an expert opinion on this.
Well, I will try my best.
Nope. You do a good job with that. So, the summer's going by really quick, but that doesn't mean there's been much in the way of, there's been a lot of action this offseason. Seems like there really hasn't been an offseason, especially with the kind of out of the blue trade that brought Brandon Saad here. So we wanted to get your take on, just how far the gap between the leaders of the Metro and, where the Blue Jackets stand now. How big of a gap is that now? Do you really feel like that they've made a significant enough of a move that they could possibly even win this division?
Yeah, I think they definitely closed the gap, and I know a lot of people are saying this, but if you look at the underlying data, it's really true. They've closed the gap by getting healthy. You had a lot of guys, Brandon Dubinsky out, Boone Jenner out, Sergei Bobrovsky out. Obviously, Ryan Murray is coming back saying he feels great. Health is huge, obviously, for this team with the maturity they have finally gained. And I think that there's no question. You bring in a guy like Brandon Saad, who is young, who is on the uptick, who has championship experience. I also really like the Pittsburgh moves. I think they elevated their position. I also like the Caps. But I think that the Blue Jackets have kept themselves in the conversation for sure and elevated themselves to the top half of the pack when it comes to the Metro.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that. It's scary to think that even though they've made the moves, that they still could potentially be as low as possibly even fifth. A lot of the pundits out there say the Blue Jackets could finish fourth or fifth, but they still could possibly make the playoffs. The Metro itself is just a gauntlet out there. Really, to me, it comes down to just whoever can beat those teams within their own division. You got to beat the Pittsburghs of the world. You got to beat the Washingtons of the world. You got to beat both New York teams if you want to be at the top of that division. And it'd just be really interesting to see. And you're right. Hopefully health stays with them this year. Hopefully they found the magic elixir somehow.
Right. I think that what we're talking about when we talk about the team and the division is this is really going to be a war of attrition. Right? We saw it last season, and that it's like any division. Teams are going to be taking points from one another. So this is really going to come down to not only who's built for talent, but who is built to withstand. We saw the impact of injuries not being able to withstand the roster that was built, and I really think Metro is going to be a war of attrition this year.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see, who comes out of it for sure. And there's three other teams that are in the division that we haven't even talked about yet that are probably saying, hey, we're still here. We're going to give you a fight.
For sure.
So, in closing that gap, you know, obviously they made a big statement. So the goal horn has a mind of its own, apparently.
A very big statement. We got a goal for it.
What? It's telling us something. It has to be a sign, right?
Right.
So, in closing the gap, you know, Brandon Saad was the big move, but they made a real... They wanted to get defensive help, and they even said that Kirby Reichel was even possibly going to be available. It became a big priority for them, but at the end of the day, they didn't make a blue line acquisition. So we wanted to know, is it more they like what they have on this roster, or could it even be looked at as a little bit of a disappointment knowing that they didn't land, you know, a big name defenseman?
Yeah, you know, I think you'd be hard pressed to find any of the 30 teams that would say they are completely satisfied with their defensive core. So I'll never say a team is totally comfortable with what they have. But if you look at this team since the 11-12 season, they have been improving defensively. If you look at shot suppression, they have been improving consistently since the 11-12 season.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the biggest uptick, actually, I believe, since the inception of the franchise last year. And I've said this a couple times, I think what's important to really remind ourselves, I mean, we all know it, but we forget it in the moment, is that in hockey, defense is not just the responsibility of the two guys who are quote-unquote defensemen.
Right.
And we have some of our most significant defensive forwards out of the game. I mean, you take Brandon Dubinsky out, you take a Boone Jenner out. Brandon Dubinsky is known for his shot suppression and his defensive play and his play in all three zones. I really feel like the defensive lack was not just a failing of the defensive core.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the defensive core, of course, I mean, listen, Ryan Murray is my happy place to watch that guy play. He's so talented.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good. And he wasn't there. And you need him on the ice to allow the other defensemen to be played properly in terms of their usage and when they're on the ice and when they're not. The lineup got really screwed up that way. So when I look at that data, would I have loved to have seen a top guy come in? Would an Ehrhoff be great? Absolutely, no question.
Mm.
But I really think the context of last season, you have to have that context to temper what happened last year. It doesn't mean we're great, but it means that there were so many factors to why the defensive metrics were so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the players being shuffled around because of all the injuries and maybe not being in natural spots. And, you know, beginning of the year, they were a young team, of course, too. So, well, Anton Forsberg, I mean, you know, he did so well in the AHL, but then came up and wasn't exactly the best thing. Didn't work out so well for him at the beginning there. But right as the year gone on, I mean, the glimpses of it, like the month of December happened, then the month of March happened, and, you know, to me, it just seems like that the team is looking at them as they got the talent. They've proven that they can win in bunches. It's just now if they can stay together so that everybody can stay in the position, to, you know, and then to be able to develop another year. I mean, you think about the young players that were there last year. Now they have another year under their belt, you know, and I'm really excited to see like a Ryan Murray, like you said, in that comfort zone. And me personally, I think David Savard's primed to have a huge offensive year. I've already said he gets 50 points this year, you know, 15 goals and 50 points, especially if he plays power play time. I mean, I'm really excited to see, you know, how this power play works. And you're right, you know, the forwards, they've got to have defensive responsibility too. It's a whole total team effort in that sense, isn't it?
That's right, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned the youth and the jumbling. I mean, I remember we went into training camp and people were joking of would we carry 7 or 8 defensemen on the roster. And by the time the season was over, we had, I think, 11 or 12 defensemen who had playing time. So
right. It's
just some solidification there and seeing these guys really own their position and bring their game. I think we're going to see a lot more consistency, just like you're implying there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, can't wait to see it. Now, you kind of took a little bit out of the next question, but that's okay. I mean, a lot of perfectly fine, because the same D Corps coming back. You know, Jack Johnson, David Savard, you know, the whole, like, they're all going to be back. they did give up a lot of shots last year. I mean, from 11 and 12 on, you make a very good point that that whole shot suppression thing has steadily been getting better, but then there was the bump in the road last year. So for those fans that are kind of worried, we got the same decor again, we needed to get like a Christian Ehrhoff or somebody like that, just give everybody a reason why this year it is going to be different in terms of shot suppression.
Sure. Well, you know, again, not only having a healthy defense and a healthy set of forwards playing defense, limiting those shots, you know, the flip of that is when you have a healthy set of forwards, you have the puck more, right? Mm-hmm. So, if you know, there was a while there where our offense was get it down, Ryan Johansson takes a shot. You know, I think he keeps the puck on his stick for an average of something like 1.5 seconds. He's got such a quick release.
Yep.
But that means that the majority of the time, we're not controlling the puck. And when you're all healthy and you can play your defense the way you want, that can be okay, but we'll be able to control the puck more, and we'll also be able to stop the puck more with more comprehensive defensive play. And I will make this comment, too. You know, we only hear what Jarmo and company wants us to hear, and so a lot of, you know, we can't ever think Jarmo's done dealing or is telling us everything he's working on. So there's still maybe a surprise in the works as far as we know.
Yeah, never say never. That is so true. And you've talked to him on several occasions, and I have when he's been in Erie, you know, with the scouting, especially the couple of the Otters games last year. Just the demeanor that he has, you know, he's always working on something. His mind is always churning, just thinking, how can we get this team better? And gosh, what a blessing it is to have somebody like him, you know, being able to make decisions and make this team better. And the draft mind he has is just so impeccable. It's amazing that the last, 3 years, 6 first-round draft picks, and just the amount of talent that is now infused in this organization. The future is just so incredibly bright right now.
It sure is.
Yeah, so I wanted to switch out gears a little bit and go to goaltending a little bit. And, you know, the reports about Bobrovsky this year and, you know, reports saying that he's bigger and stronger, I mean, that's got to be really exciting. And, you know, you take a look at the grand scheme of things here in the NHL, only Henrik Lundqvist gets paid more money than Sergei Bobrovsky in terms of salary. So take a look at last year, obviously a bump in the road. He had some injuries to deal with, and his goals against average, his save percentage wasn't exactly great. I think it was even 30th or worse in the league. So we just wanted to kind of get your take, because I think a lot of outside fans have kind of asked this question. I think, you know, internally it seems that most Blue Jackets fans know just how great Sergei Bobrovsky is. So does he deserve to be the second highest paid goaltender? I mean, he makes more than Carey Price, makes more than Tuukka Rask. And then just give us the sense, you know, whether it be from an analytics standpoint or from an eye test, what makes him earn that kind of money? Like, what do you see in him, even though he had a little bit of struggle last year, you know, just a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, you know, and the fun thing about numbers is that we can always tell a different story depending on what number we're looking at, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, it was interesting when we talked about having this conversation here tonight. You know, as much as Bob's save percentage may not have been comparable to previous years, he actually was 15th in the league for wins of all goaltenders, while being 16th in the league for shots against.
Right.
So, you know, this does harken back, and I know I sound like a broken record, but Bob did not have the caliber of defense in front of him that he has had in previous seasons. And that's, again, that's not a dig on the players we had. It's the impact of the injuries.
Yeah.
So when you look at him, his numbers last year, I don't hold those perhaps as much concern. I do think that he is deserving. He is a huge part of that core. I mean, my gosh, he motivated Nick Foligno to create an end-of-game tradition just for him.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think when you look at the intangibles as well that he brings as far as work ethic, as far as focus, as far as teamwork and fighting and playing for one another, you know, I think that it's going to take a lot more than last year to make me ask some serious questions about his performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think some of the think I saw a chart. I can't remember who it was that released the chart. You know, maybe like a War on Ice or somebody like that that does a real great job with it. I'll have to, you know, find out and make sure I give proper credit to it. But they would show who... three different variables in terms of like save percentage and high, and the up close save percentage, and I think there were only like four or five goaltenders that were better across the board than Bob, and there wasn't very many. His numbers, even with the down year last year, they were still fantastic. I mean, just look at the end of the year, and I think the record in March and April the last couple of seasons is. It's eye-popping, something to the along the lines of like 35 and or 40 wins against like maybe only 10 or 11 losses. I mean, he closes the door just about as good as anybody in this league.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think we'll see a rejuvenated and a rededicated, even more so than you can think it's possible, Bobrovsky coming on the ice here in about a month.
Yeah, and I guess his commute to the arena won't be as long this year, eh?
For sure. It sounds like he's found a place he likes to call home.
Sounds good for all the Blue Jackets fans out there. So let's take a look. You know, training camp's obviously coming up, and you know, this year it seemed, you know, obviously somebody could step up, of course, but it seems that most of the positions in terms of who's expected to make the team are, you know, kind of decided a little bit. You know, Sonny Milano could make a move, Oliver Bjorkstrand could make a move, you know, Kirby Reichel could make a move, but, you know, just kind of give us a sense, what do you expect to see on opening night in terms of who's on your top nine, and then just a follow-up to that, on the top line, you know, assuming it's a Ryan Johansson in the middle and Brandon Saad in the left, would you rather see a Nick Foligno, or would you rather see Cam Atkinson on the right side if they do that?
Sure. Well, I'll start there because you have to start there, right, to talk about who's at the top. But, you know, I definitely think that we're going to see a little bit of play in the lines. I think that is only valid where things fit the best. But I think that we will definitely see looks from both Foligno and Cam on that top line with Ryan and Brandon Saad. My personal pick, which doesn't seem to be the most popular one, is to actually put Foligno there. Mm-hmm. I think that Joey and Saad are such offensively minded players. They are excellent Corsi, excellent shot production players, but not quite as strong defensively just yet. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see the balance that a Nick Foligno brings to a line like that. Cam is also a highly offensive minded player. He has tremendous chemistry both on and off the ice with Ryan Johansson. But I think we might open ourselves up a little bit to not as much defensive play from the three forwards. So I would lean towards the Foligno Johansson Saad, but I think we'll see Cam up there as well. Mm-hmm. And then if Cam slides down with a Boone and a Dubinsky, I mean, good gracious, that's going to be a fun thing to watch.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I think that on the third line, you know, and again, I don't think this is a surprise to anyone. We're seeing Wennberg with Hartnell. We know the magic that created. And and then a Bork or a Clarkson on the other side. We'll see which one of those two comes out. You know, we didn't get to see really too much of either Bork or Clarkson in Union Blue. We saw a little more spark from Bork. And I, you know, particularly he had some chemistry with Ryan Johansson as well. I go back to his goal in Calgary, which was just a lovely little pass from Ryan Johansson to knock it in. But not sure who'll be there yet, but that's my top nine.
Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting point you make about, you know, who's going to be on that right side. Gosh, you can't go wrong. I mean, it's...
Right.
Coach has options, and, you know, he gets to be able to experiment a little bit, see where the chemistry is, and, you know... Any of them could end up there. Really, anybody's guess is as good as, you know, the next person at this point. So it's just exciting to see the depth and the talent there, and just hopefully everybody, like I said, can, you know, stay healthy for sure. So keeping with the forward thing here, I know Ryan Murray got all the attention for missing the games, and rightfully so. He's such a great player, and, you know, no question in my mind, the most important player on the team in that sense, just for what he brings. But someone, at least in my opinion, I don't know how many people have even brought this up, but, you know, Boone Jenner, I mean, last year he was injured, it was a back injury, and he missed a good portion of the season, so and he happens to be coming up on his where he becomes a restricted free agent after the season, along with several defensemen like a David Savard, for instance. So wanted to get your take on Boone. Just how big of a season is this for him all of a sudden, knowing that, you know, he did miss some playing time last year, and yet we know that the team, you know, values him. You know, some have even said that he could be a future captain, but do you feel like he feels extra pressure knowing that he's becoming a free agent after the season?
Yeah, you know, first of all, Boone is a huge part of this team. I mean, management has been high on him since the beginning, and I think he has given them every reason to have that respect and that admiration, if you will. I think both of the injuries this past season were fluky. You know, the first was the broken hand off a block shot with his hand, and then the second you get a stress fracture in your back, which is really just a crazy thing, and there's nothing you can do about it except rest until it heals.
Mm-hmm.
I think we see the exact same Boone Jenner that we're accustomed to seeing. I think, if anything, he comes back with a little more fire in his belly. This season is important mainly for his contract, but I think long-term that last year even or this year is not going to really increase or decrease what he's all about and what he's going to be all about. It might move the contract needle a little bit, but I think we're going to see a return to form for Boone, and maybe the contract isn't as high as he thought it might be, but he'll get right back up there quick, I have no doubt.
Yeah. You could just see that the talent is there, and I think back to the playoffs a couple seasons ago against the Penguins. I mean, he was a force, and you know that he can only get better, and to see that top, I mean, as you said earlier, Scott Hartnell is on the third line with a center who was drafted in the first round who could potentially, you know, project as a number one or a number two center. I mean, it's one of the scariest third lines in all of hockey at this point.
No doubt. When
you're talking about kind of players. Now, speaking of the third line, you mentioned the possibility of David Clarkson ended up being there. He could be a third liner, could be a fourth liner, just depending how things work out. I think it's so heartening to see. I think you were at the golf outing, correct? And he was at that?
Yep.
And just being able to converse with fans, and he ended up, right, I think it was in the Pelotonia, was that correct?
He did, in fact, yes.
The community involvement already, it just seems like that he's just jumped right into the fray here and is just doing all the right things and just making a very good impression, and it's such a great start. But we wanted to just get, you know, what should we realistically expect from him, you know, as a potential third liner, as a potential fourth liner, maybe someone who sees a little bit of power play time, like usage-wise, in terms of, you know, potential scoring. I know the contract might not look good, but, you know, we all know what happened there. But what can we honestly expect from him, you know, in a good sense?
Yeah, you know, first, before we get onto the ice, you know, off the ice, I will just reinforce what you're saying. I mean, I was talking to him since his first day in Columbus, and he is just a quality individual. Mm. I think he is happy to be in a place that wants him. I think he gives 110%. He stays longer than he has to. He talks more than people need him to. If there's a press opportunity, he's just a really, really great guy, and I think he has the attitude to want to be part of success here. I think, you know, if you talked to Toronto fans, even when he first came to Columbus, one of the knocks on him was that, yeah, he takes a lot of shots, but they don't go in. You know, he was getting a lot of Corsi or shot attempts, but none of them went in. And when you look at how he was really used and why he was successful even in New Jersey, it's because you put him where he can clean up the trash like that, where you put him in a bottom six role, and he's just right there and always on, just knocking in whatever opportunity he gets.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in a role like that, he really is going to be able to excel once again. You know, I don't think that 20-plus goals is out of the question at all. 35 points, depending on where he slots into the lineup, we could see that from him. As you mentioned, the contract is the contract, but I think in the right role is when David Clarkson excels, just like any player. And I think he's going to have that opportunity in Columbus this year.
Yeah, and not as much media attention, not like what Toronto can bring. No, that's got to be
right.
The weight of the world off his shoulders for sure.
That's right.
So just a couple more here with Allison Lucan from Buckeye State Hockey and BlueJackets.com. Wanted to kind of turn our attention to prospects a little bit here, and I know Corey Pronman just released his top 100 prospects in the NHL, and four of the Blue Jackets ended up making it, including the likes of Oliver Bjorkstrand and Sonny Milano and Kirby Reichel and Zach Werenski. I know Werenski's probably going to play at Michigan this upcoming year, but we just kind of wanted to get your take. Now, they want to make this team out of training camp. They certainly will have their opportunity. So if you were to put your prediction hat on here and look into your magic eight ball of Bjorkstrand, Milano, and Reichel, which of those three do you see making the Blue Jackets first, whether it be out of training camp or whether it be the first call up in the event of an injury?
Told me we were going to talk about. I've got rationale for each of them being the first. But I personally, with no disrespect, these are three excessively talented young men. Yeah. Milano was third in my book. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, he can always gain more professional experience at starting in Lake Erie. I think he can season there perhaps the longest of the three you mentioned. For Reichel and Bjorkstrand, I honestly was one of those people surprised not to see Reichel in Columbus earlier last year. And I think that particularly if we talk about needing to fill in a bottom six role, if it's a call-up situation, Reichel is going to be the guy we see. Bjorkstrand might get consideration if he just comes and knocks the socks off guys in camp. I mean, obviously all of what I'm saying can go out the window starting September 19th, mm-hmm. but I do think that Reichel is who we would see first. I can certainly rationalize a situation where Bjorkstrand, they want to get a look at him, they want to bring him up, maybe there's an opportunity for him to play on the second or third line and they want to see what he can do. But if I had a dollar, and only a dollar, no more, I'd probably put it on Reichel.
Yeah, I got a couple pennies ready for this one.
Exactly.
Yeah, because to be able to have any of these three available, just think of how great Lake Erie is going to be. That's going to be some fun hockey, Cleveland. Hopefully you guys go out and, you know, support the team, and those top two lines there are going to be just fantastic. Going to be a lot of goal scoring, hopefully, but Bjorkstrand's a right winger, I believe. If you look at the depth, if I'm looking at it strictly from a depth chart standpoint, maybe he's the one that gets, Milano's a left winger naturally, and I believe so is, I think Reichel may be a center or a left winger. But I think
Reichel's left, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, Bjorkstrand would be the only right winger in terms of depth. I mean, you look at natural left wingers, if you just look at it from that standpoint, you've got, what, Foligno, Hartnell, Saad, and Calvert, who can all play the left side. So it would be maybe a little harder for them to crack it. And maybe Bjorkstrand knocks the socks off of camp and finds a spot. I mean, it'd be great to see, but at the same time, I mean, you can also make the argument you certainly don't have to rush them. You know, let them get the experience, and then, you know, when an opportunity comes up, you know, any of them can come up. I mean, what a luxury. I can't remember a time in Blue Jackets history, and I know you could comment on this, has the organization ever been this good, both talent on the NHL roster and talent down in the minors, such as in the AHL? I can't think of a time. Can you?
No, I mean, I think it's the conundrum for the long-term Jackets fan. We're actually used to seeing the youth too soon, right?
Right.
I mean, we saw Derek Brassard. That's how Jared Bowl came into the organization, and I think it's a new and exciting luxury that Jackets fans should embrace to realize that we won't see some of these new faces for a while, and that is actually perhaps the best thing in some cases.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, proper development too, and anything that's another thing that proper drafting will do, and getting the right players up on the team is, you know, I think of Detroit when it comes to just how they groom their young talent, and then they come to Detroit when they're ready, and it's no wonder that they've made the playoffs like 11 million years in a row. It's they've got it going on, and I think Columbus definitely has a goal of trying to make that happen. So it's really great to see, and you know, we're at the beginning of this, and just can't wait to see where it goes. Two final questions here. I've been talking a lot of positives here, and you know, hopefully it doesn't get to this point, but you know, what if the Jackets, you know, finish fifth in the Metro and it's not good enough? You know, for whatever reason, do you feel like this year Todd Richards has some pressure on him to, you know, not only make the playoffs but make a little bit of a run? And you know, what could possibly happen if the team misses the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, and I would argue that the pressure is not even as much on winning, but on winning early. This team, you know, we had a slow start this past year. Of course, injuries were a factor. And then 2 years ago, we had a slow start to start the season, a slow start after the Olympics. I mean, we can't have a team where every break means that it takes time to get revved back up. We need a group of guys who are locked in and keyed into success right off the bat. So I think that the speed of winning and the consistency are going to be more important per se than the number. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, the number matters. But, you know, I think if this team stays healthy and can't get it together, I mean, those are going to be some tough questions for much smarter hockey minds than me in terms of what you do after that. But I think the start and the, you know, I think it was Jeff Merrick was talking about saying, you know, 1-2-3 losing game streaks, those are quote unquote okay, but to have long streaks, you have to have a team that finds their way out of that. So it's not too long of highs, not too long of lows, and consistency and getting that quick start right out of the gate.
Yeah, and what I think is the last few years it's been a really slow start, or where, you know, as the season has gone on, they've been able to turn it around, but gosh, I think last December when they did go the 10-1-1, they only gained like a minuscule, like 2-3 points, something like that in the standings, as everyone else kept winning. And, you know, every game matters. October, November, it doesn't matter. You got to get points in this league, just the way that it's set up, especially with the way that ties work and everything like that. You just got to find a way to win for sure. And just one final, with everything, all things considered now, how do you think they do? You know, what prediction can you share with us in terms of, you know, record? How do they finish?
Well, maybe this is the toughest question. I should revise my earlier statement. Right. I'm going to be bullish, and I'm going to say that the Jackets are going to come away with at least 95 points on the season, if not more. As far as the overall standings, I am going to definitely say they make the postseason. I would like to say they are in the top three of the Metro, but again, because of the cannibalization that happens with the points in that division, I think that if the Metro is as strong as people are predicting, we still make it in. It just might not be from the top slot.
Right. And there's always the chance, too, that if you get in the wild card, you can end up playing the playoffs against the other division, too. So really, slotting is everything here. I'm bullish, too, for sure. I got 47 wins and 100 points. I got them 47, 29, and 6. Look, they had a winning record last year. I mean, for as many games as they with the injuries that they lost and 15 of 17 lost in October, November, they still finished with a winning record. So that would only be 5 more wins than what they had last year. And with the improvements that they made with the depth of forwards, and, you know, if Bobrovsky is getting better, like you said, I don't see how they can't get 5 more wins. I mean, I'm really excited to see this. I personally, and the crazy part about it is with everyone like Washington, I have Washington going to the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm really bullish on them for whatever reason. Just the moves that they've made. Pittsburgh's made great moves. I don't see how they can't make it. The Islanders have not only good talent on their roster, they've got good talent coming in the organization. Here's the bold prediction. I got the Rangers fifth. I mean,
yeah. I would agree.
It's really hard to, you know, try to pinpoint this division, but bottom line is, I think this is the year that Columbus hits triple digits. You know, and it's, hopefully it happens. Hopefully we didn't jinx them. There's a lot, but there's a lot of games to play, and we're definitely looking forward to it. So, Allison, you know, thank you so much for joining us for this preview. Great insight as always. And actually, wanted to get one kind of bonus question here out of the way. It's something that you're really good with, and I think that a lot of fans would benefit from this. Just kind of wanted to get your take. You know, somebody who's maybe a little bit newer to the whole, you know, advanced stats thing. They, you know, they want to get into it. You know, they read the charts. They see some of the stats. Just what one piece of advice would you give them for someone who's getting started? You know, just so that they can kind of get their feet wet a little bit, you know, into the world of the analytics and the advanced stats.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, the first thing is to find some voices that you like, and don't be afraid to ask questions. I mean, I think that for the vast majority, I mean, there's always a couple exceptions, but everyone is always happy to answer questions and help people learn. So if something's confusing, ask about it. And I think that we're in a very exciting time for stats in that we are finally getting to a place where people are presenting them very differently. You have a lot of people doing visualizations as opposed to just straight numbers and numbers and charts. So find a voice that you connect with, that you can understand, and then really start to follow that voice and ask them questions and kind of make them your go-to resource. I think don't be afraid of it. And quite frankly, if you get into it and you think it's all rubbish, that's totally cool too. We still enjoy hockey either way.
Right. No, exactly. We're all hockey fans, and it makes for great discussion. And I echo your sentiment. Don't hesitate to, you know, reach out on Twitter or ask questions. I mean, we're all learning here, and, you know, we all, you know, like to think that we're on the same team, and, you know, we're gonna support each other, and we might not agree on everything, but that's okay at the end of the day. I mean, you know, that's what we're here to do. You know, you can find Allison on Twitter at Allison L, and you can find me on Twitter at HW Mark. Allison, thank you so much for joining us doing this preview. We greatly appreciate it, and we hope to have you on down the road here.
Thank you, Mark. It was my pleasure, and happy to talk anytime.
Yeah, thank you very much. And fans, you know, we'll be back at it. We got more previews coming for the Hockey Writers, you know, as we get going here. Month of September, our site's actually going to have one preview a day. We're going to go alphabetical order throughout the whole month of September, so stay tuned for that. And thank you for joining us today, and enjoy the rest of your day.